Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members.
Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Enviro Heating and Air, serving all brands of HVAC systems in Sonoma County and Marin County. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' 106-104 win over the Houston Rockets. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament. That was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
Well, Ray, the Warriors played without Kevin Durant. They're facing a Rockets team that won 9 in a row, and Warriors coming off a loss that was pretty disappointing against the Phoenix Suns, a team that's not going to the playoffs, and they come out and win, and they played really well, and DeMarcus Cousins certainly made one of his best contributions to the Warriors. So, you know, go figure. You can't really figure out the NBA. I know the Warriors were definitely hungry to win this game on the road and to beat the Rockets for the first time this year in four tries.
Yeah, it's amazing what they can do when they're paying attention, right? And doing this without Kevin Durant. And, this is what you can figure is if it's not a team that's challenging them, if it's not a team that's a threat to them, it's hard for them to get up to that game. You know, last week they took care of Denver rather convincingly. That's one of their challengers in the West. And I think this was the biggest win of the season beyond the Denver game, because they lose this and they get swept by the Rockets. And the Rockets were already chirping about how they had the Warriors figured out, had the Splash Brothers figured out. And the way the Warriors were going, you're looking at 7 losses in 11 games, and you start thinking about the third seed for this team. So that was a huge tipping point last night. But the Warriors and Steph Curry made the statement for the game that this was an important game, that they wanted to make a statement here. You wouldn't think that a team that had won 3 titles in 4 years needed to make a statement, especially against a team they vanquished twice in the Western Finals, but definitely the dynamics have changed this year in the league, and the Warriors are feeling the heat a little bit more. Some of it is self-generated. Some of it is, you know, they've had injuries, and they've had some disruptions, and they've had some drama. It's not been the most pleasant regular season, but that was definitely a highlight last night.
Absolutely. Steph Curry came out and said that he thought defensively was how they were going to win the game. And definitely, yeah. I mean, that is what jumps out at you when you look at the Rockets shooting 11 of 41 from three. And watching the game, Ray, you knew that it wasn't going to be a great percentage for the Rockets. It just seemed like they were putting up shots and, you know, not making them from three, especially Harden. You expect him to make a lot of those, but he was 2 for 12. How much did you think it was the Warriors' defense and maybe forcing him away from his left hand, as was talked about a lot? Or was it just a matter of the Rockets just missing shots and it just wasn't their night?
Well, I think that if there were going to be open shots, they were going to make sure it wasn't James Harden. He had a lot of contested shots. I thought they defended him very well. They did change the way that they defended him, getting off to his side, his left side, and contesting him from the side so they can't kick out his legs and, you know, flop and things like that. And it only happened once, I think, and that was with Draymond Green. And Harden made the shot, and it was a 4-pointer. Now, when he does that, when he kind of, you know, angles his feet so that he can land on an opposing player, that's kind of risky. You know, you're risking a awkward landing and an injury, and it doesn't make the shot easier for you. But, he did that against Draymond. I thought, you know, I took a tremendous shot, but he made it. But other than that, I mean, they defended him very well. And oh, by the way, Kevon Looney 2 or 3 times, I thought, did an excellent job against Harden. He wasn't falling for the crossover, the ball fakes, or anything. There's another time, do you remember, where Steph Curry was going one-on-one against him, and Harden drove, and then he jerked his head back, and Curry gestured at him like, stop with that stuff. You know, I mean, like he's had it with the dramas and the histrionics I think the Warriors overall have had it with that, and have had it with the disparity in the way that Steph Curry is officiated and James Harden is officiated. That was all laid out there last night, but I thought they did a very good job against Harden. He got some numbers, but again, 2 for 14 from three. That's not going to win you basketball games.
Yeah, and you know, he got to the line 9 times, which is almost as many times the Warriors did as a team, but that's still below his average. I mean, he gets to the line more than that. So I guess that's a victory right there, that you know they held him from getting to the line so much, because you know when he doesn't have an open shot outside, the way he dribbles and drives to the basket, he is just tough to stop, slow down.
Yeah, and consequently, they were in control of this game, and I thought their defensive effort overall was pretty good. But they were in control for most of this game. They almost let it get away there at the end, but they hung on. And, you know, I mean, you expect a fourth-quarter challenge from a home team, especially a team that had been playing as well as the Rockets have been. But I thought it was the most significant win of the season for the Warriors. And, you know, there are all these narratives that were going to be happening going into the postseason, and none of them were positive for the Warriors. And so they kind of shoved those to the side. And again, doing it without Kevin Durant. Now, you know, the Rockets did a number on the Warriors without James Harden, without Chris Paul. And so, you know, it works both ways. But I thought that you know, the ability to adjust, and as Klay Thompson said post game, you know, with Kevin Durant not there, we had to use Boogie as an option, especially in the half court. And he had his best game, I thought, as a Warrior. And, you know, we've made the point before, he's played better on the road. For some reason at home, it hasn't been working out for Cousins. But that was his best game. He was most active, and, he had some of his old moves underneath the hoop. I thought it was a very significant game for Cousins as well.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro Heating and Air contractors have a solid reputation for having thorough knowledge of residential heating and air conditioning systems, as well as commercial HVAC systems. For your free HVAC air conditioning and heater estimate, call Enviro today at 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. After the win over the Rockets, Klay Thompson talked about the play of DeMarcus Cousins.
It was a good matchup out there for him. You know, and he's so good at using his size against longer defenders. He just played one of the, you know, probably the most complete games he's played since he's been here. I mean, I was getting wide open looks from his passing ability, and he has a whole new dimension to our team, so you saw what he can do with us tonight.
Here's what DeMarcus Cousins had to say after his 27-point game against the Rockets on Wednesday.
I think it's coming. We've had stretches where, you know, it's kind of flowing for everybody, but no, this is a team that's been together for a while, and you know they play a certain type of way, and they're used to playing a certain type of way. So for me to just come in, and you know, I'm not expecting it to just this team to adjust to me. Obviously, I have to adjust to them, and you know, I have my opportunities, so all I can do is just try to take advantage of those opportunities. And you know, I think I had those opportunities tonight.
Steve Kerr also addressed the media.
Well, I think we, you know, changing the rotation, splitting up DeMarcus and Draymond seemed to be effective and spaced the floor a little bit more. And I thought DeMarcus did a good job getting down on the block. I thought Dot really did a good job of getting us organized, getting him down there. And I think Sean was like a plus 16 tonight. And our bench did a great job. Quinn Cook comes in, knocks down some shots. JB gave us big minutes, so really good team win.
That's Steve Kerr. Coming up, more Dubs OT in just a moment.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in Sandersville has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
I don't know why sometimes this team does need to get out on the road when things get rough. Steve Kerr even mentioned that, and you know, and Klay Thompson kind of criticized the fans a little bit the other day, saying they need to cheer more at the beginning of the game and all that stuff. I don't know that that makes any sense, but they did play a really good road game. And the one thing that stands out too to me, Ray, about their effort is the way they're boxing out and getting rebounds, because that kind of gets lost when you're not hustling on defense. You just don't box out anymore. And in this game, they out-rebounded the Rockets by 13.
Yeah, that was the big number for them, and that hasn't happened very much this year. And you see it in some of these other games where the effort isn't quite there. And, you know, for example, the Phoenix game. And I saw this, the Warriors down in Phoenix against the Suns, and they almost beat them in that game. And it occurred to me at the time, you know, the Suns are really scuffling, but there's some young talent there, and they're starting to play some pretty good basketball. I mean, they took down the Warriors and the Bucks in the past week. So, you know, this goes back to what I'm talking about with the changing dynamic in the league. Even with these bottom feeder teams, there's no easy out anymore. The gap is closed, for sure. And I think the Warriors are feeling that this year. You know, they just can't always turn on the switch and beat teams and count on that. You know, count on maybe 80% effort and then, okay, we'll be fully focused for 5 or 6 minutes. They knew they had to be fully focused last night in Houston. And I think that's what they need going down the stretch of these tough games to get them primed for the postseason. Now they got another team that's been playing well, the Thunder, coming up on Saturday. National audience there. So once again, and we underlined this last week, you would think that would get their full attention. We felt that way about the Denver game. It worked out. They had a great effort. And we felt that way about the Rockets game. So hopefully we'll see the same thing in OKC on Saturday. It looks like doubtful for Durant in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can't just have the full attention all these games that we think that you would, you know. I mean, and the other thing is, I guess, I mean, I have sort of a theory here. You could tell me what you think, but I guess when you have five all-stars out there starting a game, you kind of think, well, I've got four other guys that I can rely on, and it just, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's sort of this innate sense that I don't have to do as much as I normally would. And when you're missing a guy like Durant, then you feel like, okay, I got to do a little bit more, and then everybody chips in. I don't know. It seems like maybe that's sort of a mental part of it that I'm examining. What do you think?
Well, also, I think, you know, with Cousins still getting used to the vibe with the Warriors on the court, used to, you know, their patterns and you know, what plays they want to run and what your role is in those plays, those roles became a little more sharpened, a little more defined last night. So, again, as Clay mentioned, when they got into the half-court set, they knew Boogie was there, and he had some good matchups that, you know, allowed him to get in deep and do some damage. And he did a lot of damage last night. You know, I think Clay mentioned this post-game against the Suns. And you could see how weary he was in even saying it. It's like, we played a lot of games over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, they played the equivalent of an extra season in the postseason. And so the meaning of a regular season game gets lost a little bit during that time. And it's hard for any human being to get up for these games. And that's been, you know, readily evident this year. And, you know, if you're a fan, caveat emptor, buyer beware, because some of these regular season games, the effort level is just not going to be there. This is a team that has, you know, only so much, and this is human nature. You only have so much energy and focus that you can give to a certain game when you have to go through a long postseason as well. And, oh, by the way, this is a problem that every team would like to have, but few teams in NBA history have had. So there's no real handbook for this. You just kind of have to find your way through it. And along the way, yeah, you're going to have games where the focus and the energy just aren't going to happen. They're not going to happen anyway in a long NBA season for an average team. But for teams that's going to play, you know, an extra 15, 20 games, you hope, in the postseason, maybe more than that, yeah, it's hard to bring it every night. It just is. So it doesn't mean that you don't point it out when it happens. I mean, there was a couple of games last week where I thought, where's the heart here? You know,
yeah.
where's anything? You know, at least bring some energy. So you can't blame the fans for that. The fans are going to react to what they see on the court. And you know, that Suns game, the Warriors got out to a great start, and then maybe they just figured they just cruised from there. I don't know. Sometimes it's some subconscious thing. And so it's all predicated on what you do. That's what the fans react to. Sometimes you can hear the fans, you know, cheering like, hey, let's get going here. But they can only do that so many times. You know, it's up to the players to give the fans something to cheer about.
Dubs OT continues in just a moment. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro's goal is to provide each family and business with the most energy-efficient heating and air conditioning system to fit their needs. Enviro is happy to provide a free estimate for your new energy-efficient HVAC system. Contact Enviro Heating and Air today to get an estimate and lower your monthly heating and air conditioning energy costs. Call 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. Let's talk a little bit about some drama. It seems like every podcast this season we've had a little drama that wasn't there before. But let's talk about what happened with Steve Kerr during that Suns game, you know, when he had his you know, his little rant about Draymond, and you could see it on television and you could read his lips and saying, I'm so bleeping tired of Draymond's bleep. It was pretty obvious. I mean, and I like how Kerr joked about that later, but it seems to me, Ray, that this got quashed quickly because of Draymond Green realizing that, hey, you know, I do this kind of stuff all the time. I'm not going to be sensitive about it. He didn't make a big deal of it, and I don't think it's going to be talked about anymore, whereas it could have been a problem maybe with some teams or some players. A sensitive guy, you know, sees that. That could have really fractured a team, but I don't think that's going to happen here.
Let me tell you something. That's happened with every coach, with every player in a situation. Well, not every player, but it's happened, you know, year after year with some team and some coach.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. This stuff has been happening in the NBA for a long time. But we're in an age now where the cameras, the video phones, whatever, catch everything. And so everything becomes an issue, right? And because the league and basketball fans are more focused on the Warriors than just about anybody, and have been for the last 4 or 5 years, this stuff gets magnified. At the same time, yeah, it doesn't mean it isn't a thing. That, you know, there's obviously, you know, Steve Kerr, as other coaches probably would react naturally, when Draymond gets too involved with the officials, after a while you just say, okay, I've been backing this guy, and I go after the officials myself. But after a while, you want to focus on the game, not constantly focus on the officials. And I think that's kind of the point that Kerr is making out of all of this. I mean, he's tired of having to deal with the officials and all the drama, and you know, through Draymond. Let's get back to focusing on the game. And the Warriors are a team that has the reputation of you know, barking at the referees as much as any team in the NBA, and that's reflected in the technical fouls they get. But we know that because the personalities that are there. So I think Draymond knew that he had to quash it. That, you know, there may be something there, but they're going to deal with it in house, and they've got enough drama, as you mentioned, going on this year, that they don't need this too, especially a few weeks before the postseason. So I think it was smartly played to kind of quash all of that very quickly. But like I said, it doesn't mean that it isn't a thing, that it isn't an issue that they got to deal with. You know, I mean, they've talked about this before. And Draymond is like, well, I can't really change who I am. I can change the way that I handle it, but I can't change who I am. That's, you know, he's in his, what, seventh year, eighth year in the league. This is who he's going to be. So you either accept it or you don't.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, I think in any sport, it does bother me when I see players just, you know, going crazy at officials. And I think every once in a while when you get a bad call, you can get upset. But I think, to me, it seems like it's beneath the Warriors to be acting the way they have, especially Draymond. And I know what you're saying about his personality, but I just think, you know, arguing about every call, it's kind of like crying wolf after a while. And I mean, maybe there was a little bit of a difference in this game against the Rockets. Actually, Scott Osler wrote about it in the San Francisco Chronicle today that he did think there was a difference. So I don't know if that comes out of what happened with Kerr, and maybe that is a positive, because I would like to see the Warriors do a little less arguing with officials. And Ray, I mean, look, every team does it, and it annoys me that all these teams are doing it. I understand that the officiating isn't always great, and you see it in other sports too. I just think that it's beneath you. I think you should respect the officials a little more, and then wait for the really, really bad call to go crazy, not go crazy on all of these calls.
Right. It gets tiresome. It really does. But we know who Draymond is, and that's part of the competitor that he is. So, again, either you accept it or you don't. And the Warriors have, through all the drama, they've accepted it because Draymond brings more positives to the table than negatives. We all know that. It's just the negatives are out there for everybody to see when he's chirping at the referees. But I did notice a difference last night. They're a little more understated, a little more focused, and you know that's the result you get. You get some better play, and there are going to be moments in the postseason where things unravel. That's part of the stakes that you're playing for. So everything's going to be heightened. But, a couple of things here. I think players want to know that the coaches back them, when they feel like they've been wronged by an official. I think Steve Kerr's been pretty good about that over the years.
Oh, yeah.
He's gone after referees. He's gotten technicals himself. There have been a few clipboards that have given their lives.
Right.
Because Steve Kerr is, shown his emotions and does back his players. But I think there comes a point where, are we playing basketball here, or are we playing convince the refs? After a while, it's not effective. That's the bottom line. I mean, everybody lobbies referees, and the good referees will admit when they made wrong calls. But after a while, there's that point of diminishing returns, where you just got to stop doing it and start playing basketball again. And I think the Warriors have reached that point a couple times this year. Not that they don't have a legitimate beef. I mean, the disparity in how James Harden is officiated and Steph Curry is officiated, that's I may sound biased, but it's been clear to me for years. But Harden, I mean, he's a smart guy. He's going to keep doing what works, and it's worked for him. But the other thing I'll say is, and you got to remember this, especially if you work in the league and you work with these people on day-to-day basis, you're all employees of the same product, right? You're all part of the NBA. And there should be a family. I think that's the understated notion here, is that it is part of a family, that you're all part of the same product that's going out to the public that's become wildly popular. So there has to be some sort of level of mutual respect there. And I think, by and large, there is, with some exceptions. There's always going to be players who just have a problem with a certain official. I know some fans love to get on Scott Foster, and I've gotten on him before, but at the same turn, Scott Foster always shows up in the playoffs. So what does that tell you? He's rated out as one of the best officials in the game, and these officials are the best in the world. You want to show me some better officials? But they're human. They're going to make mistakes. And you just have to accept that and move on sometimes.
The other part of this is what we have access to these days. Because, you think back to what happened with Draymond Green when he was yelling in the locker room. What was that, last year or 2 years ago? And, it was reported. Basically, people could hear it. And now you've got this situation with Kerr where you see it on television, you could read his lips, and you wonder if maybe coaches will go to the pitcher and catcher deal where they're covering their mouths, make sure that nobody could read their lips. What is said said behind closed doors now is it seems to be just out in the open. And I know that, you know, the coaches are mic'd by the networks, but that is closely scrutinized by the NBA and a producer who's sitting in the truck. So that's not really going to damage any reputation of a coach. But there's so much out there now. I just wonder if coaches are now going to act like a pitcher and catcher in baseball and cover their mouth. That way nobody hears, you know, or nobody can read lips and see what they're saying.
Yeah, they got players mic'd up on the court too. I mean, yeah, that's what we were saying earlier. The cameras catch everything now, and everybody seems to be interested in what's happening. And so, you know, the coverage is a function of the public interest, and then the coverage feeds that public interest too. So, you know, it's a never ending cycle, and you just got to be able to be prepared for that and deal with it. It's, you know, part of what has made the game so wildly popular in the last couple of decades. So, you know, again, two sides of the coin. You get the benefit of, you know, people paying attention to your sport and why these guys are making fabulous amounts of money. But at the same time, you know, yeah, everything is going to be looked at. Everything's under a microscope. So, you know, you better be aware of that. In the Warriors, you know, they've been the best show in basketball for 5 years now, on and off the court. You get your tremendous basketball and you get your drama. What else could you ask for? That's it. But, you know, for these players, I mean, that means from time to time you're dealing with controversies. There have been a lot of them this year, that's for sure.
By the way, to finish up, speaking of a great show, my favorite moment from this game against the Rockets was something that happened when it wasn't even going to count. It was a turnover that the Warriors had. DeMarcus Cousins threw one into the bench to Steph Curry, and he's sitting there with a towel on his head, and he shoots the ball like from the bench, and he didn't make it. I wish he would have made it, but I just love that about Curry. Like, he just, everything's serious, you know, it's professional basketball, but he's still like a kid, and I just, to me, that was my favorite moment of the game.
Yeah, he was open.
He was open, yeah.
I don't blame Cousins for trying to find him. But, yeah, you know, he's a kid who's now got three kids of his own, who's a young man who's emerging as a leader, and he's turning 31 today. But he's still kind of kept that childlike quality, too, and it's what, you know, makes him so popular with the fans. So, is such an endearing personality, you know. But here's the thing about him: when he gets on the court, he can be a killer. That's the one thing we've recognized with him. You know, the demeanor is happy-go-lucky, but when it gets down to some of these games and big shots, I mean, he loves just deflating the opposition. He's got his own little beefs as well in the NBA, and we saw that one, like I mentioned, when he was on the court against Harden, going one-on-one. So I think that you know, the whole package with this guy is it's been the best thing to happen in the NBA, I think, in the last 10 years. You're looking for superstars. You're looking for guys to kind of lead the sport, and he's been a perfect guy for that. And looking forward to more. But he's 31 now. That just drives me nuts. I remember he was just the skinny kid coming out of Davidson, getting 30 footers in the NCAA tournament. I said, "Who is this guy?" Well, I guess he could be a pretty good player in the NBA, maybe coming off the bench. And then we saw what's developed after that. It's really quite a story.
Yeah, happy birthday, Steph. I didn't even know that. I mean, I'm glad you saw that. I didn't see that yet today. You know, so and unlike what happens in baseball, where I guess apparently you can't play after the age of 30, no free agents are getting signed after 30. At least we know Curry's got, he seems to have a lot left in the tank.
Oh, yeah, I think we're looking at, I think with him and with Clay Thompson, who I believe recently turned 29, you're still in your prime years. And I think for somebody as well-conditioned an athlete as these guys are, you have reason to expect them to be at the top of their game for a couple more years. I don't think that's out of bounds. And, you know, Curry's about breaking boundaries anyway. And then, you know, in his so-called declining years, he's still going to be a pretty good player. So there's a lot to look forward to over the next few years here.
All right, Ray, look forward to talking again next week about the Warriors and the drama that continues until we get to the playoffs.
Yeah, we don't even have to worry about that. We don't even have to make anything up. It just happens. So, yeah, we'll see what happens next week as we inch closer to the postseason.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.